part two of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo on the Buzz Bubble.
Some examples from the Print and Prosper campaign.
Now we're having people tell us their stories about how they're using their money that they're saving. And they said, well, if I can save this much money, look what I can do with it. Some people said they'd go on trips. I don't know if you saw this stuff on YouTube. There's the guy who got the water slide for his backyard. He's got, you know, three kids, one on the way. Right. And but people really like the message and they've embraced it. And the program makes sense because now people are starting to embrace the message and be ambassadors for the message. It also, it changes behavior in store. People go in.
Oh, really?
People used to go into the store and the salespeople would say, yeah, we don't really have that many Kodak printers. We have more of these.
And oh, absolutely. They're not number one. They weren't number one on top of mind at the time.
So people now go in with a whole list of, here's why I want a Kodak printer. You know, or if I can't get one here, then I'm going to go look for one somewhere else. So that's good news for a business that was small relative to the big players in the market.
Who needs to develop new markets for themselves. I mean, all the camera companies are moving to ink and paper and all those things. You know?
Yeah, film is really not a business to be in anymore.
No.
So that's exciting work for us.
Yeah. Is there a microsite that you go directly, or is the best way to find that, go to Kodak and find it?
Well, you can go to printandprosper.com.
Printandprosper.com.
Yeah. Okay. Printandprosper.com is where all of our work takes you to. We send you to Print and Prosper because the people who are interested in our message are the ones who want to see how much they can save or...
I have a kind of a devil's advocate question about that one. Was there any backlash about print, paper, using paper, using more paper? And was there, I'm sure there was thought that went into it, and, you know, was that a consideration? And
these are people, the message is really for people, again, who want to print.
Want to print, these
are people who, you know, their kids are printing homework, they want to print pictures. We're not talking about excessive, wasteful, wasteful printing, but... But yeah, we thought about it, and these are real. This is not like a message to abandon, you know, any social responsibility you have. It's about, you know, if you're a printer.
Well, like you said, you're disappointing your child too. Oh my God! Or I've like, you know, yelled at them. You printed 10 of those. You know what this cost? Now I don't have to worry about it.
Well, or the worst part is you don't have the ink, and you're trying to print something too, right? The ink cartridge is dead,
and they printed 10 of the Blue's Clues, and I have my proposal that won't print.
Exactly. We have a couple of those.
Yeah. What's your perspective on what it means to be a digital agency and all these digital agencies that are now becoming agency of record? And has Deutsch made any moves to address that, you know, that this new mindset that, well, if you didn't start out as a digital agency interactive, you don't get interactive?
Interesting question for us in particular, because we have a pretty robust interactive, you know, I wouldn't even call it a department. I'd call it a discipline because to me it's a thinking discipline.
Sure.
And you know, we've always played in that space, and when I mean played, I mean serious play.
Right.
I mean, we've done a ton of work for our clients in that space. So I've never thought of, maybe it's my personal thing, but I've never thought of an agency as a digital versus a blah, blah, blah. In our heads, agencies that come up with ideas and can execute them are the agencies that get business. And so if you're coming up with digital solutions for your clients, it means that you understand their business and you've got a great solution. Now, whether or not they can do the print ads that have to be done with that, I'm assuming they're developing those capabilities as well because they need
to.
You know, or maybe not print, maybe there's, you know, content on YouTube that they have to provide or whatever.
Right.
You know, but I have to... We don't think of it as digital versus traditional agencies.
Well, just the fact that you said it's not a department's way of thinking, you know, it's really at the essence of what people are calling digital agencies. But you guys, you know, from what you're saying, it's just always been the way. We'll consider everything, and we'll bring everybody into the room at the beginning to say, well, maybe what's the technology opportunities that will make this brand and this new position so much better? And
right. It's about the ideas. I mean, the people who execute the ideas are very much like a studio in any case. So it would print ideas get executed and broadcast ideas get executed and interactive or digital ideas get executed. But at the thinking level, people are saying, wouldn't it be cool if when I did this, I got this? Wouldn't it be cool if I saw this when I was doing this? Or if I reached that consumer at this time, the only way to do that is this way. It's it's not a... Wouldn't it be cool if we had an app to go with this idea? That's sort of backwards.
Let's move into social media, because all my viewers, you know, I get segmented up, and boy, when social media is in one of my tags, they love eat it up.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a big part of where we're living right now in the advertising world. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, you know, the conversation was for the last 10 years moving traditional, which who even knows what that is, into interactive and non-traditional dollars into that space. And now taking dollars and trying to convince clients that this social media is a real thing. It's growing faster than TV grew. It's, you know, it's
right.
You got to consider it. You got to be there. And is it a challenge to, you know, convince the big brands that that's where they need to be, or you know, and a little about how you've made that move?
You know, I think the vernacular is so much about social media, and there's a big acceptance to the term social media or being socially active and talking to your target or consumer that way. The interesting thing is there still isn't a lot of ROI out there. You still don't see a lot of measurement around social media. So, you know, people are a little bit reticent to spend a lot of money there, but they know they have to be there. So
right.
I don't find the conversations hard. Everybody knows you've got to be there
right.
in the right ways, talking to the right people at the right time. But there's not a widespread move of money from traditional media to right into social media
right.
because everybody's still got bottom lines they've got to look at. And,
right.
you know, they still want to know what part of my media mix is working. And so we do a lot of work to measure, you know, what's going on and what pieces of the media are working well or working well together. That's another piece that makes sense for us is looking.
Right.
The other piece about social media that I find interesting is it's not just about what you say, it's about what you listen to. And so we're out there doing social media monitoring. So we're
right.
listening to what
sure.
people are saying so that, and maybe the reaction's not all right back at you in social media. Maybe there's someplace else that you have to execute a message that responds to what you hear people saying online. So there's a listening and an active participation that goes hand in hand.
How do you react to that? Do you have teams or people or a person, you know, that is monitoring that? And then, like you said, you don't always take it head on, but, you know, what are some of the processes you are reacting, using it to react? And
we have a pretty robust data analytics group, and their job is to listen
okay.
and then to tell us what that stuff means. So they're looking for clues in what's going on with brand equity, what's, you know, how much of the conversation is around this side of the issue versus that side of an issue. It's particularly important when there are product recalls or something's going on with a company and it has nothing to do with what you're advertising, but something came out about the company. Is it impacting their view of a particular product? Is it impacting brand image? And then you bring all those integrated thinkers back to the table and you say, what's the right way to deal with this? Where is it more, where do they need to hear this message? Where's the wrong place to put it because it's only this little buzz and if you make a big deal out of it, it's too much. So,
right, right.
But that's what people do. That's their job to sit, you know, to figure it out.
It's such a gift. I think it's such a gift for us now to have, you know, total transparency of, you know, here's what we did and here's the reaction mm-hmm. and, you know, and you've seen that change over the past 15 years. And how long you said you were here?
I've been here 17.
You've been here 17 years. Even so, since you've just been here. You know, the accountability was there for, you know, TV, you can get accountability, and there were some other things that could really be accountable for, but it was always, so how's things going? Sales up, you know? And now, you know, you can tell them what every dollar did.
Well, so
good,
much,
bad, or indifferent. You
right.
know?
And actually, it happens in real time now so much, you know, it's so much more quick. I mean,
we've been
a retail agency for a long time, and so we worked on a lot of car business, and over the years, you know, we ran ads, and if the dealership business wasn't up over the weekend, we knew the ad didn't work. So,
right, right.
you know, and notwithstanding, you know, a torrential rainstorm in a certain part of the country, you know, you kind of look at everything and you say, that's what's going on. Now, it's not just, you know, visits to the dealer. You can see tons of information
right.
like this.
Right.
So, helps you, you know.
And the interesting thing now is, you know, we've got analytics, which I think are fantastic and such a great tool for agencies, but you still have that old model of success. You know, you can tell, well, a zillion people went to the site, but they didn't go to the dealership. Now what do? You know, we look at the analytics and say, is it a good or a bad thing that we can say, look, but we got this kind of reaction, and so many people reacted, and then they said, you know, but where are the sales? You know, how does that cross over?
Well, it takes some study, right? So there are people who go to your website there, and if you can tell where they are, so you know
right.
what products they're looking at, particularly on something that has multiple dimensions to it. You can say, this many people are interested in the price, this many people are interested in the side effects of this product. You know,
yeah.
some people download information when we've done pharmaceutical advertising, they download information to talk to their doctor about. So we know they're going into the doctor's office with information and asking questions. Right. So then you start asking yourself, is there a breakdown in the office? You know, what's going on? Are they not getting the drug they ask for? So it's interesting, but there's enough to tell you what's going on so you can go the next step and find out what's happening and make an adjustment. When something like that happens, you know, you look at your professional efforts and you say, are we telling doctors what we need to tell them so that they can respond to their patients? A, right. This drug isn't for you, or B, it is for you, and here's why. And that's I'm glad you saw that ad.
That's a great example. Just, you know, okay, where is the breakdown? And just follow, you can follow it further, I guess, and figure out where to fix it quicker.
That's it for part two of the Buzz Bubble interview with Val DeFebo. Tune in next week for part three. On the Buzz Bubble.